We're up to Pasuk Chafhei. Pasuk Chafhei, Nefesh Brocha Sidushon. Umarvel Gamhu Yoyre. A Nefesh Brocha, which means, according to the Mitzvus and Neshama, that is gracious, that wants other people to have blessing. A Neshama that wants other people to increase. Brocha means increase, have blessing. What is the Midah K'neged Midah? Sidushon. This Neshama itself will be blessed. Hamavarich Nisvarich. The one that blesses, the one that is deserving of receiving blessing, the Neshama itself will be fattened. And likewise, the Marveh. Marveh literally means to satiate. So a person that is kind, is gracious, that satiates others, Gamhu Yoyreh, it will be satisfied. Let's look at the Mitzudos Pasuk Chafhei. Nefesh Barocha HaChefza. I'm not sure if that is... HaChefza HaSefes Barocha. I'm not sure if that's the right word. Who is the Tosal Tfos? That means in the Shama that desires, an individual who desires HaSofas Tova L'Zulas. HaChefza. An individual has a desire that there shall be a HaSefes Tova L'Zulas. Someone else should have bracha. What?
Needy people.
Needy people. Anyone. But in general, you are...
Yeah, you're right.
You're not stingy. You're happy when your neighbor has a bracha. When someone else is making a simcha, you're not filled with jealousy and rage. You're happy. You want other people to have good in this world. What's the expression? Fargin, is that the right word?
Yeah, fargin.
Fargin. Peresh, Fargin, you Fargin other people. You're happy. It's not a good, it's hard to find. That's what this past. Right, exactly. You Fargin someone else. Nefesh Barocha on HaChefza, HaSefes Tevel, is the person that Fargin someone else to have Barocha. Gamhi Sidushan. This Neshama will be blessed. Hashem, Midik Nekmidik HaShemrach, will make sure that this Neshama is expanded. And likewise, and Mumarve, Hamaspia. Marve means to sate, to satiate. Satiate someone else. If you have happiness that someone else, so you yourself are instrumental in causing other people to be satisfied. The person himself will be recipient of his own bracha. He will be satisfied with good. This is the pshat according to the mitzvah. Let's look at Rashi. Pasuk Chaf. Hey, nefesh bracha. Shehu vatran b'memoinai. Rashi is a bit different. Rashi means that the bracha means the person is giving. It's not going to the mitzvah. This just means you don't do nothing. You sit home quietly, and you hear a report that your next door neighbor is making a simcha. Next door neighbor, his daughter got engaged. Ah! Mazel tov, if you will, you're sincerely happy. That's all the mitzvah says. You have not given out of your pocket one penny. It didn't cost you anything that your next door neighbor is making a simcha. And you're happy. I'm very happy that my next door neighbor has bracha. Rashi is a bit more. Rashi says, no, that's not enough. You have to actually be instrumental in seeing to it that your neighbors have bracha. And the example he gives is yevatron bimloina. You give away, you write a check, someone comes to collect staka without any hesitation. You give write a check. Vatran bimoyne, v'choloshon bracha, every time we have bracha means pishon delas, it's some type of word which means expansion. It means over here in old French that you give away from your money. Someone told me a story, he got a phone call, wrong number, so someone left a message on a cell phone, a person was collecting, hello, I want to speak to you. About something, there's a Yisoyma and Eretz Yisrael, and they're collecting money, and he goes through a whole story, leaves like a 5-minute message on the person's cell phone, and it was a wrong number. No, it was really a wrong number. So the person calls back and says, are you sure you're calling? Says, I thought this one, no, it was a mistake, I was calling with someone. Says, alright, but you know, once already you called me, and a total stranger. And I heard what you said, you know what? I also write out a check. Who should I write out the check to? That's a person, the Vatran, it's a wrong address. You weren't even solicited. And yet you're willing to give away of your money. That's a beautiful, beautiful midah. Vatran, b'memoinoi v'choloshon bracha pishon. U'marveh shemaspia sanim, person is satisfied. It's not just method. You give them what you need. You actually satisfy them. How often do anim come away satisfied? They may come away with a few dollars. They're not very happy. I mean, unfortunately, I've had the bad experience of someone comes to the door and I give him a dollar. and they give it back to me.
Say thank you.
They said, that's not what I had in mind here. I had in mind something a little bit more. So,
say thank you.
You can satisfy a poor person. It's quite a feat. And who yoyre, he will be satisfied. Okay. The Medrash has a very interesting Medrash. The Medrash says here, Marve, not like with the Mitzudas and Rashi, which means satisfaction. It means to teach Torah. And it means a person that teaches Torah in this world will merit to teach Torah in the next world. We do not understand what this means. Talk to a Malami, talk to a Rav. They love to give drashas. There's a hana. There's a very great hana in teaching. Everyone can relate to that to some degree. In Olam Haba, the pleasures, whatever pleasure there are, it's magnified exponentially, whatever pleasure there can possibly be. So could you imagine having this, we have no idea what this means, of having the schus of giving a shir in Olam Haba? So when they come to Olam Haba, we will hear these stories that Olam Haba, it's like everyone goes to the same shir. So people have no shaykhis to learning, it's Gehenna. To sit and listen to a shir in Olam Haba, it's namish, and the shir goes on forever. Forever. It's Gehenna. But people, Talmid Echam, who are accustomed, who have a background of learning, for them it's a pleasure, it's Olam Haba. But that's when you're on the listening end. What about being Zoche to give the shir in Olam Haba? Could you imagine the pleasure a person has giving a shir in Olam Haba? So it says here on this Medrash, an unbelievable Medrash, it's not a Gemara. In Masechta Sanhedrin, after Sadi Beis, an incredible Gemara, that Umarve, don't translate Marve to mean to satisfy, but translate Marve Lashna of to teach, Yoredeya. Yoyre Deya, to teach knowledge. One of the sections is Yoredeya. Means to teach. Yoyre, that's what the Marve. A person that teaches someone in this world, what is the reward in the next world? You merit to give Shiurim in Olam Haba. That's the Midah Kenegah Midah. Incredible Gemara. Omar Rav Sheshes, Kol Hamalami Torah B'Olam Hazeh, Zeche Umalamda L'Olam Haba Shenemar, Umarve Gam Hu Yoyre. A person that's marve, he teaches in this world, will be able to teach Talmidim in the next world. I told you a couple of times there's a sefer on the afterlife. It's a very interesting sefer. I told you this. There's a Talmud from in Philadelphia yeshiva. Who's the Rosh Yeshiva? The Rosh Yeshiva's son, Kamenetsky. Not Kamenetsky. Shalom Kamenetsky. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky is the Rosh Yeshiva. He has a son. His name is Yaakov Kamenetsky's grandson. His name is Shalom. He's a very big Talmud Chacham. He's an upcoming star. He's coming into the limelight from the next generation of the Gedolei Yisrael. So he gave a shir. What? I don't think so. No, I don't. I don't believe so. But he gave a shir. He had something in Philadelphia. It's not like New York. There are people there that are more in touch with the world. And Flatbush and Brooklyn is a little bit more. They're out of town. Is a little bit more down to earth. So there are a group of people there, if I'm not mistaken, in Philadelphia that somehow they learned the Chavrusa with Rav Shalom Kamenetsky, and they started learning about esoteric and yonim, about the afterlife, Olam Haba. MS, what happens to a person when he dies, to the neshama, very from the sources. So one of the Talmidim of this very interesting shir, he actually took notes and he published the shiurim in a sefer. It's a strange sefer, it's called the afterlife. I told you about the sefer a couple of times, and that sefer is where I told you, it says there that in Olam Haba, everyone, no one has elbows. That was the thing that I enjoyed the most from the sefer. No one has elbows. So if you eat, how do you eat? Try to take some duct tape and tie down your arms. Try to eat without bending your arms. It's impossible. How are you going to eat? Try. It's impossible. The only way you can eat, someone has to feed you. Someone has to feed you. So if you're used to feeding someone in this world, then you will be fed in the next world. Okay, that's one of the things that I really enjoyed very much from that sefer. There are no elbows in Olam Haba. But something else that caught my attention, I have no idea where this comes from, it says there from various sources that in Olam Haba, after a person dies, he's given 150 days, whatever that means, to darshan. In other words, he gives a shir in Olam Haba for 150 days. Everyone has to sit and listen to him. All the chidushim that he was mechadish in this world, he gets to give out in the next world. That really, to some degree, comes from this pasuk. Pasuk is Marvel Gam Huyera, someone that teaches Torah in this world is Zaycha to be Malame Torah in the next world. Okay, let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Chavav Monea Bar Yikvuhu Leom Uvracha Leroish Mashbir. Famous Pasuk. Bracha comes to the Roish Mashbir. They use this expression whenever you begin an event, you want to give credit to the host, to the person, to the sponsor. Uvracha l'roish mashbir, may blessing come to the one, the head of the one that provides mashbir. Means, if you look in the mitzudos tzion, it literally means mechiras tavua, the one that sells grain. But it's really used, it's used in the context which means like Yosef Atzad, he was the mashbir, who hamashbir l'cholaretz, he was the one that sustained. Literally it means someone who sells. That's what the Mesuda says. Doesn't mean, the way we use it today is someone who's a sponsor, someone who gives tzedakah. You're gracious, I'm going to pay for the entire event. But literally it means a person that sells grain. Instead of hoarding your commodities during times of famine, you're willing to give it out. Rashi focused on Torah, but the Mitzudas Telech Pshar refers to literally, and we'll see the Midrash. Let's look at the Mitzudas Pasuk Chavav, Moneah Bar, person that withholds grain. Mitzudos hachodel, someone that withholds limkar to the also is grain beisat tzorach at a time of need. When the shamer he guards it hazman hayoyger, he waits until the price goes up, until there is a famine and he can make money. He can take advantage of the situation. Yikaluluhu, the word yikvuhu means to curse. He will be cursed by Om. Om means the nation, his own people, society will curse him. Bnei umasai, period. And the pasuk quotes the bracha, blessing will come. Ba l'rosh hamoicher, who sells shever grain. The eis hatzrach, a time of need. Ki akol yivaruchu, everyone will bless him. V'unema l'mosh l'ashpas hachachma l'zulas. Over here in Echnami, it says this pasuk is referring to a Chochma. Rashi the Mitzvah says this is a mashal for Talmidei Chachamim who teach other people Torah. Those who give out Torah will be recipients of blessing. But people who have what to offer and withhold their bar is also a code for Torah, they will be cursed. Now look at Rashi. Rashi is very explicit. Rashi pasuk avav moneah bar milamed, the person that withholds bar milamed Torah, he refuses to teach Torah. It's all Rashi says. Okay, let's go to the Medrash. The Medrash interprets this pasuk in reference to the Om. Let's go read the words backwards. Om is an ubar b'mei imo, a fetus. A fetus is the most insignificant member of society. In society, there's a structure, there's a hierarchy. On the top is the king and the sovereign and the citizens and so on and so forth. Then there are people who come, men and women and children. And then you have a fetus. A fetus is not even a human being. It's a nothing of a nothing. A person that refuses to teach Torah, who has the ability to do so and refuse to do so, will be cursed even by the lowest member of society, the Om, the fetus in the mother's womb. The bar is Torah. Yivu means to curse. We will read the words of the Gemara. La'om, la'om, that's a nation. So there they write. So that's really right. But there you're saying a play of words. The reason why they said la'om is because at that moment in time, Yaakov was still in the fetus. So it's really, it's both. And one of the fetuses will prevail upon the other. Okay, so we hear in the, I'll read this little Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, after Sadi Aleph. The Gemara says, Omar Rebbe Shimon Chassidu kol hamonea halach mipi talmid afilu uborin shebimei imo mekalin oisai shnemar monea bor yik vuhu la'om. And here the Gemara Darshan's backwards, la'om is uborin, quotes a pasuk ula'om la'om yamas, and Chalal Hasan, you quoted there we refer to the pasuk that Yaakov and Esav at that point in time were fetuses in their mother's womb, so they're called om. Kalva refers to klala. We learn from Bilam, ma Ekoiv loy kabo kel. Okay, and then bor is Torah, pasik in Tehillim. Nashku var pen yenaf. Okay, in that context it refers, I'm not sure exactly, that refers to Torah. Okay, that's interpretation number one. Interpretation number two. Ula bar Yishmoel Oimer. The word yikvuhu does not mean klala, but it means a hole, like a sieve. A sieve is perforated. And it means that a person is a Talmud Chacham and has an opportunity to teach Torah and refuses to do so, his head becomes like a sieve. All of the wisdom falls out. It seeps out. He will die from this world ignorant. His knowledge that he has accumulated will be depleted, will be lost. Okay, that's not, and okay, that is yikvu. He will be. So how does that fit into the word laom? Give me one sec. Menachas akvayafa. Sifach yikvu laom. Okay, so manea bar yikvuhu laom. He will, and I don't know how the word om fits into this. This into this. Ein yikvu lashem klola lashem negev. Menach v'mosay kichvara. Okay, ksifacha. Okay, that's all it says. Because I don't really know how the word om fits into the context. But yikvu, maybe just we have to stop the monea bar yikvu, period. That's how the medrash appears to dash in this expression. Sometimes when you have a medrash, the medrash does not dash the entire expression. It just selects words, or it stops short. It seems that's what it's doing here. Monea var yikvuhu period. Person withholds Torah, he will be perforated. The chachma will fall out. A third interpretation. Abaya says, it was the same idea, same exact thing. Okay, I'll leave it. He takes the word yikvu to mean perforation in reference to a not a sieve, but in reference to a laundry man, someone that cleans clothing. They would also clean clothing by using a special type of instrument which had small holes, but it means exactly the same thing.
Imam just said somebody who hoards food.
That's pshat.
Right.
That's pashup pshat, right? And the Gemara, the Medrash Rabbah, interprets this very simply in reference to the difference between Paro and Yosef. Before Yosef took control of the country, when there was a famine, Paro hoarded all the grain. I'll read you what it says here: Monea bar yikvu laom. Paro was not very well liked. His approval rating was lower than Obama's. It was what?
Very hard to do.
It was very, very low. Monea bar yikvuhu laom. Ze paro. He was cursed by the people. Ze paro. Why? And then the passage, the end of the pasuk, bracha l'rosh mashpir, refers to Yosef Hatzad. The Medrash elaborates. Yikvu laom ze paro shegonas tvua b'shnei ro'ovin. He hid the grain in years of famine, and that is why he hoarded the grain, and that is why it says lo hiskim lumkar mazon l'shar. It says l'kach chutzva avraham yitzak le'er l'mishar. So referring to which paro, not the paro that lived during the time of Yosef, but the paro that lived the time of Avraham and Yitzhak. Now I don't know exactly what we're referring to, because we do find alterid in last week's parash, alterid mitzrayim. The first, let's go take a step back. We know in parashas Lech Lecha, there was a famine. It was one of the Messianos. Avraham went to Paro. Sarah was abducted. And then the Malach, what was the story there? Okay, we have Paro and Avimelech. I don't remember what they... With their body was the openings were closed, and then we had the same thing happen. A similar event happened with Avimelech, but the first one to do this, the first one was Paro. How did Avraham find himself in the palace of Paro? Because Vayehi Rav Aretz, Vayehi Avraham Mitzrayim. He went to Mitzrayim. Now let's fast forward to Parshas Toldos. Last week's parasha. Who else is going? Who had a hava mina to go to Mitzrayim? Yitzchak. It's the first aliyah, the very first aliyah after the birth, after Vayisrael Tzabonim became after the birth of Yaakov and Esav, Vayihi Rabaretz. And right away Yitzchak says, I'm going to leave Eretz Canaan and I'm going to go to Egypt. And Hashem appears and says to him, according to Rashi, you're an Oyla Tanima. You're an Oyla Tanima. I don't want you to leave Egypt. I don't even Canaan. Stay here. Just stay in the land. So why would he want to go? Because that's where the money was. That's where the food was. Paro, again, was hoarding the grain. At Avram's time and Yitzchak's time. Paro, the Medrash reveals to us history. Paro was not a very popular person at this point in time. These Paros, if they're the same Paro, different Paro, I don't know how long they lived, these ancient, whatever they are, they were different Paros, but the Medrash here is revealing to us an historical fact that they were not very popular in the world, in the world view. They did not get, because they had grain and they were not sharing what they had with the rest of the world. The rest of the world was starving. However, Paro, during the time of Yosef, Paro gave over control. He said to Yosef, "Alpicha yishak kol ami, you are in charge." And what did Yosef do? Yosef opened up the gates. Ki yeshever ben Mitzrayim. Whoever wants, come, you can buy grain in Mitzrayim. So this is Yosef. Oh yeah, so in the time of Paro, of Avraham, they cursed him. But when it came to the time of Yosef, Avul Yosef, Zon es kol ha'olam b'shnei ra'avon, ki roya hazeh, shemanig es sainoi, v'olav nemar, beracha l'rosh mashpir. Tovay beracha al-rosh Yosef, shahoya mashpir, moicher tvua l'chol amoretz. Okay, that is the contrast. Another medrash, Yalkut Shmoni, it says that this passage refers to the difference between Bilam and his nemesis Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe and his nemesis and Bilam, these two on the opposite end of the extreme. Bilam wanted to curse Klal Yisrael, and who lived during the time of Bilam? Moshe. Moshe was the Av Hanavim for Klal Yisrael. Bilam was the Av Hanavim for the Umos Ha'olam, and Vizois Habrocha Sheberach Moshe. The contrast between the two, Bilam was cursed by the world, Moneah Bar Yigvu. La'oim will be cursed by a nation, Zebilim Harasha, Shumoneam Lavarachas, so he wanted to deny them bor. Bor, I guess, is a code word for blessing. Bor literally means grain. Parnasa, when there's Parnasa, everything is good. It's the economy. The Parnasa, then there's everything. There's no Parnasa, there's nothing. It's the Parnasa. Bor is the Parnasa. It is a
short for bracha.
Short for bracha, it's a code for the economy for bracha. Those who wanted to withhold bracha from Klal Yisrael, they will be cursed by the nation. Zebilim harasha shumonei melavarchas Yisrael yigvu laom yasarila l'umosol. He's cursed. But a bracha l'rosh mashpir. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu. He blessed. He was blessed. He's the l'rosh mashpir. Moshe is called the mashpir. Okay, let's go to the next pas. Next pas. Yeah. Very good, very good. Okay. It's been a long time since I've said Anam Zemiras.
You said it a long time.
Only because of the... It's because of the community. They I grew up with it. It was my pride and joy. Shabbos, you know, I used to stay up the whole night. The whole night getting ready. The excitement of sending Anam Zemiras. You know, this was by me. Kodesh Kadoshim. Okay. I'll take you up on it to relive my youth. Okay, this is a big. There's a lot of competition. You know, in Israel, there's a lot of there's a long list competition. You had to wait online. You know, it wasn't so simple. Then in the later years, they started diluting the entire thing by having children do it together. There were so upset. So two or three children would say it together, and everyone would answer. Okay, a different door. Different strokes for different folks. Alright, let's turn over here, make sure I didn't forget anything. Alright. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, this is a very famous expression. Shoicher Toiv. I know your Michal must love this expression because one of the most popular midrashim is the Medrash. Shoicher Toiv. Where do you think they got it from? From this pasuk right here. What?
Also, now this midrash
Midrash Tilim is Midrash Shoicher Tov, the one that was. So why indeed is it called Midrash Tilim? Very good. I didn't know that it was Midrash Tilim because we'll see the Midrash. This pasuk is darshan specific reference to David Hamelech. Shoicher is another word for mevakish, someone that seeks the welfare, the good of someone else. Shoich, we had this word many times in the Mishnah in different forms. Shoich, in fact, then the Malam, what is the difference between Shoicher and mevakish? The Malam has a dictionary called Hakarmel, where he takes synonyms and he shows the difference between different words. So if I'm not mistaken, he says Shoicher also comes from the word Shacharis. Shacharis, it means the early morning. It's a greater intensification of a mevakish. You can want something in midday. It's 12 o'clock. Oh, you know, maybe it's a good idea. I should make a phone call and call up someone and get something that I want. But I wasn't up the whole night. It wasn't that important to me to acquire this object by staying up the whole night waiting until the crack of dawn to seek my desires. The word shoicher means not only do I desire it, I want it now. I want it first thing in the morning. I want it at the Zman of Shacharis. You stay up the entire night waiting for the first opportunity you can acquire. So it's a much greater intensification of the word Mivakish. Shoicher Toiv, a person who seeks the good of his, seeks good, Yivakesh Ratzon, let's play on the words. The two words really mean the same thing. I'll explain a little bit of a difference. Yivakesh, he seeks goodwill. Ratzon means goodwill from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But V'doresh Ra, but a person that is a Doresh, another word which includes synonyms. Shoicher, Yivakesh, Doresh. L'chor Doresh is the least of the three. He's even a Doresh. Ra, Tivo, Enu, not only will he fail in seeking the ill, the bad punishment, harm for others, it will come upon himself. The harm that he wanted to bring upon someone else will boomerang upon himself. Let's look at the Mitzudos Pasach of Zayin Shechet Toiv. Hadoyresh Achar Toivois B'nei Adam. A person that seeks the good of others. The Chofetz Bohem. And he wants good for them. Yivakesh B'zeh Ratzon LeHashem. He will seek goodwill from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki al yidei ze yirutzalo, through this it will be good, good for him, it will be satisfying him. I'm not exactly sure the translation, how all these words come together, but the idea is, he seeks ratzon from Hashem. The ultimate litmus test, if you really want good for someone else, is if you mispalel for them. It's one thing to be a nice guy, you go to a hospital to visit someone, you make a few phone calls here and there, but the real test, you really care about someone else, is when no one is watching, when you're davening Shemona Esrei, are you nechavim that so-and-so should have Rufu Shlema, so-and-so should have Yeshua, so-and-so should have a Shiruch. The real test of if you are Shoicher Toiv is if you are Yivakesh Ratzon, you are Mispalel for someone else. I remember once I went to a shir, and who was it? It was the name of the person, famous speaker, Rabbi Dishon. I'm not mistaken, it was Rabbi Dishon was speaking, and he said that he was somewhere, and a person who he collected a lot of money for, over the years, gave him a lot of money. He was instrumental in channeling funds for this poor man he met in. So right away he was on the defensive mode because he didn't give him a check in a couple of months. So he said, "Oh, don't worry, I'm going to send you the check. I'm going to get you the money. Don't worry." So the poor man said, "That's not what I'm here for. I want to ask you a question. I haven't seen you in 6 months. Will you mispalel for me in these 6 months? You know that I'm in a very difficult situation. Forget about the money. Will you mispalel for me?" And that was really the theme of his speech. The Shon's speech was, "I wasn't. It's been 6 months since I saw this fellow. I give him money every year for many years. But I was never really mispalel for him." And the way he said it to me, "I don't want the money. I just want you to be mispalel for me." and it made a roshim on him. And that's really the thing, is if you really care about someone, of course you give them money and you help them make phone calls. But what degree the are you misfavored? Some person always makes me feel guilty. He says to me, I thank you for your tefillos. I know that you must follow for me. And the truth is, I'm not. So what am I supposed to say to him? I'm supposed to make him feel better and say, oh, you know, I'm never miss follow for you. So I just nod my head, you know. But that's really a very powerful idea, and it's right here in the pasuk. You don't have to go make up the midrashim and look for chassidus shemaisalach. All of these ideas are found, these profound ideas are found in the psukim of Nevi'im, and here we have one example, Yivakei Shura Tzayin. Okay, the next words are the Mitzvot of Derech Shura, Aval HaDerech Achar Ros B'nei Adam, Umahu Chafetz, Ubohu Chafetz. Don't, if you want someone to suffer, guess what? It boomerangs. Azai Hara Hahi Tavoy Alav, the raw comes upon the person himself. There's a famous chazal that a person should never curse someone. But for Rahman al son, so you curse, all the curses, they boomerang, they come upon the person. David HaMelech, he suffered greatly. Suffered greatly, a terrible Yisurim, David HaMelech, with his children, with all different, with his malchus. And Chazal say that was all a result because David cursed Yoav. Yoav was his general, he was his nephew, and there was a falling out between David and Yoav, very big falling out, and David cursed him. And all the curses that David wished for Yoav ultimately came upon himself.
Yoav tell Shaul about
Doyeg and Achitofel. Doyeg and Achitofel, they were Mamash Rishon. But David, Chazal criticized David for overreacting to Yoav. He was falling out. He needed to be put in his place. They needed to separate. He had to be relieved from his position as general. But David overreacted, and therefore David suffered much because of his overreaction. Now there is a couple of Eretz Midrashim. Let me first jump to one Medrash. This is an interesting Chazal. And so Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says as follows: Call me she'ena lo yechiger v'lo yisub, a person who is not a lame. His feet, Baruch Hashem, work fine, and he's not blind. But like Seach, where a chigar is, chigar. What is chigar? He limps. Okay, chigar. V'loy psuma v'loy pisach. What's pisach? What is a pisach then? Pisach is also something. Pisach. It's also like a chigar. Okay, it's like a chigar. Something similar. The oise atzmo ki echad mehim. A person makes believe he can't see. He makes believe he can't walk. He makes believe he has an injury. Einoy meis. He will not leave this world. Min hazikna ad sheyia ki echad mehim, until it comes to him for real what he made believe. Shenemar, where does this come from? This very pasuk, the doyresh ra'a, person that is a doyresh ra, he seeks ra, tiv or enu, it will come upon him. The oimer tzedek tzedek tirdef, it's another pasuk, I'm not exactly sure how that pasuk fits into this theme over here, but tzedek tzedek tirdef, but this is the main makar, doyresh ra, tiv or enu. I always wonder, you watch, shouldn't watch, but you see on television or in a movie, there are always actors that are playing the part of people that are blind, are lame, have various injuries, or they play even a part. They play the part of a villain. Okay, you have to know you need the right actor for the right part. So it's what?
That's considered the juiciest role.
Not always. Sometimes you're doing a historical event. You know, you want to be the hero. You want to be the good guy. You don't always want to be the bad guy. It's not the only. I remember once with a certain actor. So they said about him, this was the first film he did where he was a bad guy. Like, he's always perceived as the hero. He's done many movies. So he said, it's about time he got his hands dirty. It's about time this actor already took on a role where he'll be remembered for being a villain. Why is he always the hero, this actor? What?
They don't like being typecast.
Exactly, right, exactly. So they're starting to get. But this idea is not a Jewish concept. It's a very interesting idea that in the yeshiva and in school, in the Haredi school, they'll never allow this. They'll say it's because of ayin hara, will never allow this. You only hear ayin, but it's not really ayin only, ayin hara. Is this what the pasuk here means, ayin hara, or it means you're bringing, we don't know what this means. This is Yerushalmi. We don't really know what this means exactly, but in yeshivas, they would never allow, when they put on a play in elementary school, to make believe you can't see, to make believe you can walk, to sit in a wheelchair, or even things like, even the hakpad, that a person should never sit in a wheelchair. Person, Baruch Hashem, was healthy, you don't sit in a wheelchair. Exactly. Exactly. These ideas, because now why? Exactly. I think Rav Yashiv. I remember reading this story. Rav Yashiv says that when he was a child, they had a Purim spiel. They had a Haman play, and the person that played Haman did not work out well for him in life. Yeah, I think it was Rav Yashiv. Now I'm saying Rav Yashiv Zatzal. He looked back. The person that played Haman in the play, certain people, they gravitate to certain roles. He did not lead a very successful life, to say the least. The reason why we say this is because it's ayin hara. If you see someone sitting in a wheelchair, and he's not really, everything is fine. Oh, he's sitting in a wheelchair, so it creates an ayin hara. But it seems, according to the Gemara, the Yerushalmi is really stronger than just an ayin hara. It's in the category of the doyresh ra, a person that seeks, this is what I want, this is what I want, tivo enu, it will come upon the person. It's not something that, we don't know what this means. Why is that so? We know how a Kabbalah, you only get punished for things that you deserve, so why should this thing be so? We have really no idea. But you don't play around with this, and that's why in yeshivas, they would never allow such a thing like this. So when you go watch a movie, obviously, Hollywood is not a place for someone who's a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, to say the least. But that concept of taking on a role is also something very disturbing. Derech Agav, there's a very big hakpada not to ever make a play about Mechiras Yosef. I don't know where this comes from. Mechiras Yosef. There's something special about that. I don't know if you ever hear about this. That's a major hakpada, never to have a performance, a play, a spiel, acting out. You're not Mechiras Yosef.
When I was 12, 13 from Gaza, they took Eastern District and they made a big play.
Yosef Spiel, you used to have it.
Yeah, sure, they did a lot of time. There's certain segments in it where they have the Bezin sits with the Gabriel.
Okay, it's not.
Wheelchairs.
Yeah.
Recently, there was a protest at the Met about the King Hopper play.
Yes.
So they had like 35 wheelchairs.
Sitting in, right.
People volunteered to sit in the wheelchairs. And I wouldn't because I knew this.
Exactly. Okay. So that's that's right. Someone showed time it's would not do this. Exactly. It's a sensitive thing. You want to protest.
So we protest.
Baruch Hashem.
There's some people that volunteered to sit in the wheelchair.
Right. And the Hanani, right. And this is, you're saying, very good. It's a very good case in point of. You don't want to be. All right, it's a very it's a very important Yerushalmi. So that's what I always thought. I always thought it's because of Ayin Hara. But the Yerushalmi doesn't say Ayin Hara. You know, the Yerushalmi, the Gemara, the Talmud is not shy from the concept of Ayin Hara. The Gemara throws out the term Ayin Hara right and left. But the Yerushalmi doesn't say Ayin Hara. It just says, all it says there in the Gemara, maybe look at some of the Mefarsh, they learn that's the Pshat in the Gemara, but the Gemara doesn't say those words. And again, the Gemara is not embarrassed to say the word Ayin Hara. All it says in the Gemara is, call me she'en le'chigiv le'chimu le'chisech ve'oysa atzma ke'echad mehem, ein le'meis men azikna, at she'iyah ke'echad mehem, she'nemar v'dorei shura tivo enu. It's going to happen. Okay, what is the parish? That's
asking for trouble.
Why? We don't know what it means. That's what it says. Okay, now there's another medrash. The medrash interprets, as Ruchal mentioned this, this is the medrash, Sheikher Toib is the medrashan, another name for the medrashan Tehillim. Why? Why would he call the medrashan Tehillim Sheikher Toib? Because David HaMelech is the subject of this pasuk according to the medrash. Who do we interpret this pasuk to? This is what it says in the medrash Tehillim. This is, I think, one of the first. If I'm not mistaken, this is one of the first medrashim in Tehillim, medrash Tehillim Aleph. Shoicher toiv yivake shrotzain mihu zeh. Sounds like the Megillah. Who is this person who is the Shoicher toiv? The Medrash answers, zeh David melech Yisrael. Shoicher, what was he? He was a Shoicher b'toivosan shel Yisrael. He sought out the welfare of the Jewish people. Now here's something that's very interesting. How? Prove it to me. What did he do on behalf of Klal Yisrael that was for their welfare? So you would probably give 100 examples. Many examples of different what David did. But the example that he gives is he established the 24 Mishmarois of Kohanim and Levim, which is not Lahamid, Mehem Eshim V'Arba Mishmaros Kohuna V'Eshim V'Arba Mishmaros Levia. Yivakesh, what else did David HaMelech do? Yivakesh Ratzon Shem Yivakesh Rachamim. David HaMelech was Mispalel for Klal Yisrael. Shetishre Olav Ruach HaKodesh. He was mevakesh that the Ruach HaKodesh should rest upon himself so that kidei sheyuchal levorech es Yisrael. Okay, where did he bless Klal Yisrael? Ashrei, the first parak of Tehillim, Ashrei Ho'ish, v'dorei shua tiran, who is David's nemesis? That is Doeg and Achitofel. David's two major enemies, the one that spoke Lashon Hara to Shaul about David, the ones that were jealous of David, were Doeg and Achitofel. They are called, the end of the pasuk, V'doirei Shua Tivoenu, evil will come upon them. They died in their as punishment for trying to cause harm to David. To dig? I don't know. I'm not familiar. Could be. I don't know. Here it says drisha. Here, I don't see more than that. Can look at the Rashi. We need the Rashi. Rashi pasuk called Zayin Shachatov Hachotetz LaHadrich Esabrios B'derech Toyim. A person wants to guide mankind in a good way. Rashi seems to say the word Shachar is related to Musa. Okay, the way you guide people in the right way is not just by giving them money and giving them good advice, you give them Musa. Yivakesh Rastu Chavet Shia HaKadosh Baruch Hu Reitze above, he wants that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should find favor in the Hashem should the Jewish people should find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu umespayes imam and be at a state of peace with them. A Ratzon, he translates this French word, whatever that word is. Okay. Now there's another medrash in terms of this pasuk in reference to Mordechai and Haman. Okay, the Doresh, the end of the Megillah says, the Doresh Tov L'chol, what does the pasuk say? L'chol Zaro. So there we have an explicit pasuk that says that David was the one that was Doresh for the good of Klal Yisrael. Haman obviously was the one that wanted to bring evil upon Klal Yisrael. And what happened? And also Yivakesh Ratzon. How was he Yivakesh Ratzon? He was part of the team that there was Mekayim Leich Tinois as Kol HaYehudim. Ratzon, according to all the commentators, means Tefillah. They were Yivakesh. They were Mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way to bring forth goodwill from HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do Koyach HaTefillah, and that was Mordechai. The Esther, and then we have the Doresh Tiv or Enu was Haman, the evil that he wanted to bring upon Mordechai, upon Klal Yisrael was fulfilled upon him and his family. Okay, now there's another version of the Medrash that says this part refers to the average man, the average Tom, Dick, and Harry among the Jewish people, Chaim, Beryl, and Shmerel. Chaim, Beryl, and Shmerel, if they are Doresh Tov, if they are Shoicher Toiv, if they speak good about other people, then Yivakesh Ratzon. Who is the Yivakesh Ratzon? The Medrash says, the Malachi Hasharis. Mida Keneged Mida. If you give someone a compliment, or if you give a compliment to someone's parents, about to their children, about their father, and so, then the Malachi Hasharis, they reciprocate. You spoke well about Reuven, we will speak well about you. Gesundheit, we in Shemaim will go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and compliment you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at this person, look at the chesed that he has done. But mida kenegini, but if a person speaks Lashon Hara, okay, this is a really great pasuk for the sugi of Lashon Hara, person says to Shimon that Levi, he does terrible averos, then in Shemaim, mida kenegini, then they are doyre shra. in Shemayim Tivoenu, in Shemayim the Malach HaShem will speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu evil about a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring punishment. I'll read you the words of this Medrash, this Medrash Mishlei. Im Re'isa Adam Shumadaber Toiv Al Chaveroi, Malachi Hashares Medabrin Olav Toiv Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mida Kinegi Mida, the Malachi Hashares will reciprocate, will speak about the person. K'mod Diat Omar. And the pasuk is v'chanoisi es hashochan. Another pasuk he quotes is v'chanoisi, I will show favor es hashochan to those to whom I show favor, which means if you speak about someone else, they'll speak good about you. And mi shedoresh v'daber toiv al acherim, maybe okay. V'doresh otiv reinu im reis adam shehu medaber ro al chaveroi. You should be aware that dash shemalachi hashares medabrin olav rose to fnei hakadosh baruch hu. Mida keneged mida. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk chaf ches. Pasuk chaf ches says, "Botech v'asho hu yipol." A person that has faith in his wealth will stumble. V'che'ele tzadikim yifrachu. But the leaf, the growth of the tzadik will blossom. Let's take a look at the Mitzvah's Pasuk Chaf Ches. Ha'hu yipol v'lo yoyel lo asho. His wealth will not be a source of success. Aval ha'tzadikim ha'poitchim Hashem yifrichu. They will blossom. Ka'atzei ho'ilon, like the wood of the tree. Ele means a leaf. A leaf, just like leaves of trees blossom from year to year. Likewise, tzaddikim who have faith in Kadosh Baruch Hu, they will blossom. Okay, there is no Rashi, and I don't have any medrash to share with you on the, I didn't come across anything on this pasuk, not yet at least. Okay, let's go to pasuk chaf tes. Oicher beso yinchol ruach. The eved evil lachacham leif. A person that's cruel to his home will inherit ruach. Ruach, according to the Mitzvah, means anger. But a person who is and this fool, the Avil, this person, the same person who is the subject of this pasuk, who is a fool, will one day be a slave to a wise man. And what does all of this mean? Let's go to the Mitzudos Chavtes. Oicher beso. Oicher means to be cruel. How is a person cruel to his household? By not bringing in parnasa. Lazy. When one is lazy, so there's no food, there's no parnasa. When there's no parnasa, that is the sheresh of all problems. When the economy is no good, that's when everything goes sour. Heetzel, the person who's lazy, who asher bavur, that's lusoy oicher umashkis b'nei beso. Due to his laziness, he's cruel. Oicher means an act of cruelty, and he destroys b'nei beso. Kilei matzah yodo loseis lachem day machson. If he's lazy, he does not have parnasa. He does not have what to give his household. Hinei b'zeh yisrabe hamariva. And when that happens, there's going to be ruach. Ruach is strife. Air, wind. Wind here means fighting. Yisrabe hamariva, the akas. Uchilu yinchal le'atzmai ruach akas. It's as if he's inheriting, he's bringing upon himself, he's bringing into his home kas. The soif hadavar, the end is going to be, he's going to be sold as a slave. He'll come to a state of starvation, he won't have what to eat, and now he will have to go sell himself into slavery to a wise man. The soif hadavar, ayyashar he'evil hazed, this fool who is the subject of the giving of the pasuk, who we now call him a fool, he was lazy, he could have made parnas when he had a chance. Yiye eved lachacham leif, will be a slave to a wise man. Lachayoyz nefesh atzmo, in order to sustain himself. Rashi oicher beso yinchol ruach adam otzel sheyinchal ruach tamid, who inherits ruach tamid ve'ene yogea b'toyra v'lo b'melacha. So according to Rashi, when it says here yinchal ruach, this is not a punishment. This is part of the nature. There appears to be what? It's all ruach. He just sits there and breathes. He does nothing. So the point is that according to Rashi, yinchal ruach is a description of the individual. He just sits around and blows wind. does not do anything.
Hariya.
But according to the Mitsudos, it's not just a description, it's the punishment. If you're going to be an Oichar Besa, which means you're going to be lazy, you will suffer, things are going to get worse, and there's going to be kas. Ruach is a code for kas. And Rashi learns different, it's a description. He's Adam Etzel, Sheyanchil Ruach Tomit. He just inherits wind. What does that mean? The Eina Yogea. What? Oh, so it comes from here. That's what it says. The Eina Yogea Betoira Vilum Melacha. He does not do anything constructive. He does not study Torah. He does not do Melacha. So if they will be Eichres Mebeso, She'ein Lohem Malechol. He will not be able to provide his family with what to eat. And then the Rash does not explain any pasuk, which means that he will also become a slave to a wise man. Let's go to, yeah.
In the previous pasuk, is the Asher in opposition to a tzaddik?
Botech, anyone, even a tzaddik, anyone.
Because they use the term that the Botech, Ashro, he's going to fall.
Yeah.
Tzaddik will grow.
Will grow.
So why,
seemingly,
why is
yes.
The Asher always in opposition to a tzaddik?
It's subject to. So I guess he's not a tzaddik. This individual is not a tzaddik. Just because he has money does not mean that he's automatically a tzaddik. It means that he's boteach. He's boteach as well. So he's. Correct. Whatever he has confidence, that's going to get him through life. That's the mistake. Who yipol, he will fall. Oh, Lord, something yipol. Pasik lamed. Pre tzaddik, the fruit of a tzaddik is Eitz Chaim. And he is an individual, v'lokech nefosh, person that is, succeeds in acquiring souls, is a chacham, is a wise man. And what does this mean? Lamin mitzudos? Pri tzadik. Maisa hatzadik. The pri here means his good deeds. The maisa hatzadik, he is ke'etz hamagadol chayim, is equivalent to a tree that brings forth life. Through good deeds comes life. There's a tree of life, I guess, there's the Eitz Hadas, Eitz HaChaim. Eitz HaChaim, we're using this as a marshal here. And Mais and Tovim is what brings life into this world. V'lokeach liatzmon. Now we're continuing, we're not contrasting them. Over here, the Chacham is a good man. And we have to continue, a person that's wise will go out into the world and acquire the Foshas. We are not a nation that seeks converts. Okay, we're not fond of missionaries. We're not trying to do that. But I guess what it means over here is Bali Tshuva. Okay, people who are already Jewish, we want to bring them back where they belong. V'lokech ha'lokech la'atzmoy nefoshes le'hadricham b'derech ha'yosha. Shabbos Project. V'arehu kilu k'nom etzip. He has acquired these neshamos. We learn from Avraham Avinu v'yes ha'nefesh. Asher osu v'charon. Chamash kosa v'yesnefesh osu v'charon. Halakech hazeh. A person that acts in this way, he takes under his wings neshamos. His madrich neshamos. Lachochom yechashev is considered to be a wise man. This is indeed the very great tafka. This to have talmidim. There are many that they say this to Rabbi Yashiv. I say that a lot of very, very great people, if they would have sat in Kolo their whole lives, they would have been a much, much, much greater Talmud Chacham. But the Iker Tafkid is, come a certain point in time, to have Talmidim. It's to have Talmidim, and if a person has the koyach, the ability to be Madrich Talmidim, and to change their life, that is the ultimate. The ultimate great thing. V'lokeach nefashos chacham. He is a why chacham. Chacham ezeh chacham. Haroye es hanoilat. So by preparing, by training a new generation of young people to go in the right derech, the derech hayashar, this is a chacham. You're preparing for the future. You're not just focusing on the present. Okay, Rashi says pri tzadik gemul. Gemul peros, reward. Maisa hatzadikim. Gemul peros maisa hatzadikim. The pre means the reward of the maisa hatzadikim is going to be an eitz chayim heim lo'ilam. Lokech nefashos chacham, mi shehu chacham, koine lo'i nefashos. Shemlam merchayasha v'harei heim lo'i kilu kinom as if you have acquired them. Rashi says come out the same thing as the Mitsudos. Now there are a number of Midrashim The first medrash, this pasuk for the beautiful medrash Tanhuma, it's very fascinating. Tanhuma talks about Noach. What is Noach's legacy? So what would you say? If he did not have the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, what would you say Noach's legacy? Well, Noach is responsible for the existence of this very world. Noach says in the Medrash that Noach did not die until he saw his descendants separated into 70 groups, 70 descendants from which were the roots of the 70 nations of the world. Noach rebuilt the entire world. In fact, then the Medrash says that Noach did not die until he saw the earth was settled. He had already 70 descendants, and they separated into different parts of the world. They laid roots. They laid the groundwork, the foundation for what would be the rest of history, the rest of the world. That's quite a legacy. What more could you possibly want? But yet in the Torah, it makes no mention of this. All it says about Noach is, you want to know Noach's legacy? The Eile Tolois Noach. Noach Ish Tzadik Tamim Hoya Bidei Reisav. Forget about the world, whole world. Right? 7 billion people out there today. This all comes from Noach. It's only due to his credit. The world would have been destroyed. It's meaningless. The Torah doesn't consider the 7 billion people who are his descendants. The Torah says, you know what his legacy is? Ish tzaddik. He's a tzaddik. His maisim tovim. His acts of righteousness. These are the toldos. These are the offspring. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the products that HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers to be of value in reference to Noach. I'll read you the words of this very powerful Tanhuma. Mihu zeh hatzadik shenema alavka. Who is the pre-tzadik Eitz Chaim? Zeh Noach. The tzadik is Noach. Shekin Amr Abbasinu lo meis Noach. Noach did not die until he saw the entire world settled. He did not die until he saw 70 descendants. And those 70 descendants established the world. But yet, from all of these great accomplishments, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not interested. He did not register on the scales of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these 70 descendants. The only thing that counted were his good deeds. His ma'asim tovim, shenemar, eile. These are the toldos of Noach. Noach ish tzadik. Tamim, Hayabidei Raisaf. Shame, the Medrash goes on, it doesn't say over here that shame chomim, it doesn't say that it's told us our shame, chomim, yefes, and the 70 nations that came from these three children. In Ksivkan, Elet Sitko. The only thing that it says, you want to know what the told us are, Eile told us Noach, Noach ish tzadik. Tamim, Hayabidei Raisaf, that's the legacy. Noach ish tzadik, v'zehu pri. Tzadik Eitz Chaim, the peros at tzadik. What are the peros of the tzadik? They are the Eitz Chaim. What is the Eitz Chaim? The Torah. The fulfillment of what it says in the Torah is called Eitz Chaim. He lamachazikim ba. Torah is called an Eitz Chaim. The things that in the Torah that you fulfill, that is going to be the pre of the tzadik. Okay, that is one medrash. Yeah.
Tzadik.
Name of the sefer. Tzadik HaKohen.
Right.
He made name instead of Prit Tzadik. Why? What's the reason? I don't know. He took from this pasuk, obviously. So why did he select specifically this title, Prit Tzadik? There must be a reason.
The name, and also does the
Rav Tzadik, the product of Chidushim, Prit Tzadik. I don't know. I do not know. Okay, now let's just quickly go through a couple more midrashim. The Gemara Darsh, the Tanhuma Darsh, is this pasuk, Prit Tzadik Eitz Chaim Olokech Nefashos Chacham, in a negative form, in reference to Yiftach HaGiladi. What was the Maisa? He was one of the Shoftim, Yiftach HaGiladi. Ein Lecha Shoftet Ella Ma Sheb Biyamecha. Not every Shoftet was a very big Talmud Chacham. Unfortunately, Yiftach HaGiladi was a leader of Klal Yisrael, but he was not what the Gemara says, what the Medrash says, a Ben Torah. We use that title today, referenced every Shivach, we call him a Ben Torah. The Medrash used, this is a very old term, it comes from the Medrash. And the Medrash says specifically about Yiftach HaGiladi, Shelo Hoya Ben Torah. He was not a Ben Torah. Going all the way back to Sefer Shoftim. And what was the result of not being a Ben Torah? He made a neder. He was defining Ammon and Amon. He was fighting the nation of Ammon. He was in a very difficult situation. He made a neder. Ribbono shel Olam, if you'll allow me to survive and succeed, I will offer as a korban whatever comes out, the first one out of my home. So Hashem was full of anger. That how dare you say such a foolish, make a foolish statement, maybe a dog will come out of your house. Maybe an animal that's piseach or a lame will come out. Is that a kavak on the shbaruch? That's not the way you're supposed to live. I'm going to punish you. And the first one that will come out of your home will be your daughter. Now, being the Yiftach, now, if he was a Talmud Chacham, he could have been Matan Neder.
Right?
He could have
been Matan Neder.
Oh, I do not know.
In Chesor, Elazar,
I don't know.
They blame him. They amongst each other. He didn't want to go to him, and he didn't want to go to him. Meanwhile, the daughter was left in the house.
And she, so it says, it's not exactly clear what happened to her. Right. It says either some of, it says the pasuk, it says, it seems, it's not clear either. He did sacrifice her, he didn't sacrifice her, but she never married, she was in his spoidedus. Okay, whatever happened, it was not a pleasant end. So the question over here is, why if he was a Ben, the Medrash makes it very clear, if he was a Ben Torah, he would have been able to be Matan Neder, he would have been able to redeem her. There are techniques that can have been done in Halacha in order to spare her from this tzara. But he, if he would have been a Chacham, now the word Chacham here is used in reference to Talmud Chacham, he would have been able to be Lokeach Nefashis. He would have been able to take for himself a neshama. Who's neshama? His own daughter. Then let me read you over here now. This ties into the beginning of the pasuk. The pasuk begins, Pri tzadik eitz chayim. V'lokeach nefashis chacham eitz chayim zeh ha-toyer. The eitz chayim is a code for Torah. Eitz chayim hi v'machazigim ba. Shemitoch shuhu ben Torah. If a person is a ben Torah, he has in his possession the eitz chayim. He will learn how to take. He will have peros. I guess this means he will have fruits. He will have children. His children will survive. I guess that means the tzaddik, the fruit of the tzaddik are his children, and he will have benefit. And what is the benefit that he will have? He will be able to save his children from harm. Lokeach nefashis chacham. Let me read the library. V'chinat ha'moitza b'yivtach ha'giladi. Shem ebnei, shlohoya ben Torah, ibeid es bitoi. Emo asai b'shosh, shalilcham em b'nei amonu amonu nadu, v'nei neder, shnei ma'ahid, yitach nes neder l'ashem, hoya ha'yotzei, midal se beisei, v'chulu v'chulu, amar ha'kadosh baruch hu, ilu yotzei b'beisei, kelef, oi chazir, I gomel Yaakov lefanai zimelak l'shparuch hu bitoy shenemar v'inei bitoy yotze l'krosso. This daughter came out to him. I gomel liftach l'lab es bitoy al shalikar b'toyra she'ilu kar b'toyra lo ibed es bitoy shenemar ish kiyaflik and redeemed her harei pri tzadik a tzchaim. So the Tanchuma concludes this entire pasuk, a tzadik's, if a tzaddik holds on to the Torah, to the Eitz Chaim, he has fruit. And what will be the fruit? The fruit was he knows how to save his children. Now, I'm assuming the Tanchuma is telling us, don't just interpret this reference to one individual, Yiftach HaGiladi. This is, Yiftach HaGiladi is a mashal for every single person in this world. A person's most important assets are his children. And the more a person is in Am Haaretz, the more that an individual does not work on himself and becoming a Ben Torah, it's the more dangerous putting his children in. Just like Yiftach HaGiladi, he was not a Ben Torah. And because of that, his daughter, her life was ruined. Every person is like that. A person is not a Ben Torah, he has a corrupt set of values. And those corrupt set of values will be channeled to his children. And when decisions in life have to be made, what a child, their decisions, where should the child go to school, what type of parnasa, what type of friends, what type of everything in life, there are decisions that are made, there are hundreds of decisions that have to be made. And if a person is not a Ben Torah, he's going to make the wrong decision. And the damage is enormous. The children will suffer greatly. So what should a person do? He should not be like Yiftach HaGiladi. He should be a Talmud Chacham. He should take in his possession the Eitz Chaim. And then he'll be a Tzaddik. And then he'll have Pri. He'll have fruit. What will the fruit be? The fruit will be his children. And that will be expressed in he'll be Lokech Nefoshos. He'll be able to take the children that he has brought into this world and provide for them things that will bring them success, and he will thus be called a Chacham. So this entire pasuk is a mashal for every person, not just for Yiftach HaGiladi. Okay, it's out of time to say one quick thing which is not totally related. My friend, he married off his daughter to someone that I know from Yeshiva Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. He has three daughters. He always talks about his daughters on his tapes, on his shiurim. You ever listen to his shiurim? He talks about his three daughters. Talks about his wife also?
Yeah, sure.
Rakefet talks about his wife.
That's a different
Aaron Rakefet, there's not one shear. There's not one shear that he does not mention his wife at least 10 times.
He doesn't have any son.
What?
A wife and three daughters.
Three daughters?
You can tell.
Okay, so on the Shiurim, but he reveals all the secrets on the Shiurim. But on the Shiurim, he says over what he said. One of the Shema listeners, he said over the Vart that he said by his daughter's wedding. By his daughter's wedding, he's in Flapush, so you don't have speeches. When was the last time you heard a speech by a Chasna in Brooklyn? Never. But if you go out of town, they have speeches. The leader leads the Rebbe speaks. You read a letter from the Rebbe. Under the chuppah. Under the chuppah. What? Chassan's tish. Oh, that's done. That's done. By the way, Chassan's tish under the chuppah, but by the Sa'uda. Go to a wedding out of town. It's very common out of town. You go to a wedding by during the Sa'uda, during the meal.
50 years ago,
even under the chuppah, they had.
Right, under the chuppah. But in the chuppah, that's not so rare. You'll have in Brooklyn also, there are many weddings where you'll have smaller weddings, you'll have a speech under the chuppah. Okay, but what about, so he spoke in Baltimore, I think it was in Baltimore, so he gave a drasha, if I'm not mistaken, from the shir, at the Suda. And this is the Vart that he quoted, this is the Vart that he said. He said there were three people, I'm forgetting the whole drasha, but there were three individuals in Tanakh that made this, pulled off this this shtick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first one that comes, who were the three people? I forgot the third one. The first one was Eliezer and Avram. He was the first one. The first girl, Eved Avram, the girl that comes and offers me to drink, she is going to be selected for Yitzchak. Who could have been, who knows who, could have been a girl that's from a family that's not fit. So how could Eliezer do such a thing? And then we have Yiftach HaGiladi, the first girl that comes out of my door. Who was the third one? It's also the Shinach. Who's the third one? How could I forget? What? No, not Shimshon. No, there it just happened. There he came to the well. I forgot. So let's just focus on these two. Why don't we find Chazal? There's a third one. This also relates to Shaduchim. I forgot. This slips my mind. Let's focus on these two. So why did Chazal severely criticize Yiftach HaGiladi, but don't criticize Eliezer? Eliezer, he gets away with it. First of all, it worked.
He wasn't Jewish.
What? He was the Eved Avram. Doilel Mashke mitarosan shel Avram Avinu. He was a very holy person, Eliezer. So why?
Eved is not a madrega.
But he pulled off a... But you don't... Chazal, don't criticize him. It didn't even work. So what? So he said because it was Nogeh Shiduchim. And when it comes to Shiduchim, Shiduchim has a life. Exactly, has a life of its own. Special hashkacha, because things you can do by Shiduchim, you can't do in the real world. When it comes to Yiftach HaGiladi, he's at war. So he starts making conditions with the Ribbono Shel Olam, the first creature that comes out of my home, I'm going to offer as a carbon. You can't do that. That's not the right thing to do. Who knows who's going to come out? But when it comes to Shiduchim, then you have a lot more leeway. Because the Chlal, the entire Ein of Shaduchim itself is is only through unusual hashkacha pratis. So therefore, Chazal went easy on Eliezer in making such a tenai with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how we interpret that. That's the difference between this case. All right, we will stop here.